Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
The shenanigans continue. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Disney is postponing their mid-July reopenings of their Southern California theme parks until it receives guidelines from the state. Disney had hoped to reopen Disneyland and Disney California Adventure in Anaheim on July 17th after a four-month closure due to the coronavirus, but the state has indicated it won't issue guidelines until after July 4th.
I will say this. But that's good news for a lot of parents. Like, oh, guys, we had this whole plan to take your kids down there, but look, here it is in the news. We can't do it.
And, you know, as much as I know you love Disney World, Ted, I've been to Disney World a couple times. I know that it's grown a lot. It has a lot more stuff since the last time that I was there. I probably haven't been there since I was in my teens, but I did go to Disneyland with my kids. As far as a one-day great time between the two parks, we had a blast. It was plenty of stuff. And I would go back because I'm a Star Wars geek. Mm-hmm. So the one thing that I was thinking was I had such a good day there. It was fantastic, man. It was a great time that I would love to just see the Star Wars stuff.
But you went, if I remember this right, when your kids were adults, right?
Yeah.
This sounds really stupid. I was having this conversation over the weekend. I'm like, man, I'm not adverse to Disneyland. I'm just a horrible person in general. But I would rather go to Disneyland when my kids are a little older, like grown up.
Just tall enough to get over that clown. You know what I mean? As far as the rides are concerned. You don't want to
I don't want to do that. Listen, here's my thing. When they're adults, young adults, or older teens, they have the ability to deal with the fact that they're stuck in line, one, say, for 2 hours.
Okay, right.
Also, I'm not going to spend as much money on just all the crap. Like, I would rather buy my kid a beer at Disneyland, and as adults, we have a great time. I don't want to deal with all the crying and the nonsense that goes on. And it's just, and I know this sounds sad, but it's just the idea of like waiting in line for hours with little kids is really,
and
just not something I want to do.
Also,
man,
remember too, much like Disney World, the lines are long and it's 85 degrees, but you're on pavement. You're on hot black pavement and it feels like it's 110.
I mean, you're right.
Like,
little
you're
kids,
just sweating. And
little tiny kids, I would not take to any of the Disney parks. Because number one, they don't remember it. And number two, you can't get on anything.
That's what I mean. And like, I know it's for them, but I got to deal with it. And that's just my position. Like, look, I'm not listening to you cry and whine this whole goddamn time that I'm there just shelling out all these big bucks.
I think about middle school. I think
I can deal with that. I can deal with that, right. When you're old enough to not bitch about being in line, then we can go.
Where would you like to go just one more time? 206-421-ROCK.
Yeah, and they're getting there.
They are getting there.
Mm-hmm. And they could walk over, get lunch. You don't have to be holding their hand.
It'll be faster than
huge distance.
Yeah.
By the way, some comments came in, a place someone would like to get back to. It says Paris, particularly the Centre Pompidou. They have a bunch of art that hits my sweet spot. Someone else says the Whiskey National Heritage Museum in Edinburgh, Scotland. If you time it right, there's a distiller's fair at the end with free samples. And someone else says, when I was in middle school, part of my class took a trip to New York and Washington, D.C. When I was in D.C., I couldn't fully appreciate what I would see, but I would love to go back and fully take it in. The crazy part is, I did get emotional at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, JFK Eternal Flame, and the Vietnam Wall. Yeah, because you're human.
And to geek out, I mean, obviously the Smithsonian is incredible and it's huge, but as far as my interests go, to see all those dinosaur bones, all those displays.
I'm an air and space guy, but you're right.
And then the air and space portion of that museum, just to see a moon rock, to see capsules.
And it's free.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you can go through the entire
country. It's free. These are the best museums in this country. They are absolute. Well, we've all paid for them, but they're free.
Where would you like to go just one more time? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Rick. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
So the place I would like to go back to is Guam. I was stationed at Anderson Air Base in Guam back in the, 2003. Anyway, Anderson Air Base and, you know, all of Guam, you have on the north end of Guam is the air base, and then on the south end is the naval base. And it was a, you know, huge staging area during World War II, and it was also a staging area during Vietnam.
If you're a civilian and you go back, what is there to do? It's one thing to be there because you've been deployed. It's another thing to not live on base. And, you know, is there enough stuff to do is what I'm saying. If you're
right,
not
what
on
would
base.
You do?
Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff to do. The ocean is awesome. The beaches are really nice. There's a lot of coral. But it's still a lot of fun. They have what's called Telefofo Falls. So it's a waterfall that's like kind of in the central part of the island. So you can go, and it's, I believe it's 100 feet high, this waterfall, and it empties into a big pool. So you can actually dive from the top of the waterfall into the pool.
I could also not.
Well, let me ask you this, because you might have a better understanding of this, or maybe you'll remember or not, but obviously Hawaii is expensive based on proximity to get anything there. So is Guam the same? In other words, if you're going to go to the grocery store, is it going to be ridiculously expensive, or are the prices a little bit more moderate because of the two military facilities?
There's basically when you're going and buying stuff off base, there's really like three price ranges that you look at.
Okay. All right. Yep. I think his phone dropped. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. Someone else said, is this guy on a teleprompter? Actually, I don't know much about Guam.
I don't either. I just know it takes a while to get there.
I know it takes, what is it? Jungly? Is it desert? I mean, like, I know nothing about
it. I know
Guam.
It is a territory, and I know it is a military installation.
You know as much as I do.
Yeah, that's about it.
Someone here says, Miles, if you like dinosaur bones, the Houston Natural Science Museum, you can touch petrified dinosaur skin.
Ooh. Or I could just pet a crocodile.
Or do that. You just feel your wallet. Someone else says, I used to be a door-to-door salesman. It was an S job, but I was good at it, and I won a bunch of bonuses. My favorite was an all-expenses-paid trip to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. Man, I'd love to go ride motorcycles through the jungle again. Up to this
Puerto Vallarta
shop
is cool.
Next to a waterfall where they make and sell tequila. We got drunk, jumped off the waterfall about 100 times till we were sober enough to ride back to the resort. Most fun I've ever had with coworkers.
Ted, in Puerto Vallarta, they've got a big tourist pirate ship, right? And so they load up it's just a tourist thing, man. And they load up a bunch of American tourists on there every single night, and they give them like basically just punch, and they just go up and down the beach and start firing off cannons and just going crazy. So it's pretty fun to watch. It's just like, oh, there they come again, and everybody is just hammered on this boat, man. Just,
of course.
Yeah. It's like, okay, good time. I mean, I'm just on shore getting hammered, so what's the difference? Where would you like to go just one more time? 206-421-ROCK.
I mean, is it a pirate ship if you're not drinking?
No.
So, if you say pirate to an adult, it means we're going to drink, and chances are we're going to drink some kind of fruity drink.
That's where
pirate to a kid, it's some Peter Pan thing. But if you say pirate, like, oh, we're getting drunk.
That's where I went on that horrible Circus Olay in the Jungle thing. Oh, my God. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
If I say pirate, what's the first pirate that comes to mind?
Blackbeard.
Really? For me, it's Captain Morgan. I'm not even kidding.
Really?
This went, yeah.
Is he really a pirate?
I don't know.
I just thought he was a captain.
But he looks like a pirate.
He looked, well,
I mean, I don't know what pirates specifically look like, but when I think of a pirate, I think of, this is what happens when you're an adult. I went from, like, Captain Hook is your kind of your standard.
Do you think Captain Crunch is a pirate?
No.
See? I think they're in the same fraternity.
I, man, I, But it's
if
Rome,
you say
dude.
Captain Hook, then I go, oh, God.
Well, sure. I'm going to say that he was a pirate.
Yeah, I don't think he was a pirate.
No.
Really?
Sir Henry Morgan. I think he was just a captain.
Yeah, he's a captain. Like Admiral Nelson's just an admiral, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But he's not on a pirate boat.
I still think of him first when you say pirate.
Oh, yeah, I always go Blackbeard. Now, you're right. If you say captain, I think Morgan.
Sure.
And honest to God, there are a couple of places where the pirate stuff is amazing. It really is fascinating. And there's what Savannah, Georgia. Mm-hmm. If you go to Savannah, Georgia, there is a bar where in the middle of the bar, in the middle of this home, there is a giant hole in the middle of the tavern that has a railing going around it. And that tunnel goes all the way to the beach. It goes to this cove.
Right.
And they've shut it down and everything else. It's locked up. But if they open up the doors, you can still get to the cove. You just maybe have to move a couple things. Either way, that's how they got everything in and out of that port.
Yeah.
So, and it still exists to this day. And you can go in there and get drunk. It was a brothel. It was...
Have you been there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've heard about the place, but I've never been.
It's pretty cool if you like that kind of history. You know what I mean? Like pirate history as a kid, you're like, all right, this is history.
Yeah, because everything they did was cool, man. Like booze, whatever the equivalent of drugs were back then. Prostitutes, like what's not to like?
Yeah, I mean, Pirates of the Caribbean, kind of a big thing.
Where would you like to go just one more time? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Jay. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola. Hola.
Hey, so... back when I first enlisted into the United States Army, I did my basic training down in Fort Benning, Georgia.
Okay.
And they have, I can't remember the name of the museum, but they go over all the, like, the first airborne unit that dropped in World War II, and they have, like, these 3D models of everything. So, they also had a... parts of the Berlin Wall there, like massive chunks of it just on display for you to look at.
Hmm. Wow, that's
interesting. Super, super amazing. It was free to go to as long as you could get on base. But I would love to go back there.
Steve can't go. He's not allowed on military installations.
That's not a joke.
No, he's not.
And nothing I did. Listen, all right, so... A friend of mine, we call her Krista the Sister, all right? So she is kind of a big wig at the DOD, all right? And she was in the Seattle area for a while. What's the, right down the road, the...
Fort, or Joint Base Lewis McChord?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Jeez, slipped my mind. All right, so she spent the night at my place. We are dropping her off now at Lewis McChord. And like anything, they have armed guards that check your ID. So we hand them our IDs, and immediately... this dude, like, pulled the car over to the side, and then two guys with M16s are standing next to the car. I am immediately asked, what did you do? I'm like, hey, come on, man. I didn't do any... I've done a lot of stuff in my life, but nothing...
But how many different things are racing through your head of all the things you've
done? Everything.
Right, exactly.
Everything.
What's in my pocket?
Exactly.
That's a different story. I will just say there was something in my pocket that I managed to get out of my pocket because I don't understand what's going to happen. But somehow I just know it's going to be me. But I know that I have not done anything where the military would be on alert for me, right? Mm-hmm. But they don't know that. And I don't know what they know. I just know, like, I'm going to do what I am asked to do right now because these guys are all business. So now this group of dudes comes walking over to the car and... the look on their face said, I'm going to get out of whatever this might be. But rolled down the window, and the guy asked me, he says, have you ever been to, I believe it's Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany?
Mm-hmm.
I said, no. Man, I've never been there in my life. Like, are you sure? I'm like, I think I would remember if I were in Germany at all. I was like, no, I've never been there. And he kind of smiles, and he goes, okay, well, listen, there is a dude with your name, same spelling. I think our middle names are different, but there's a guy with your name, same spelling, and he is barred from entering any military base anywhere around the world, right? And I'm like, well, what did he do? He's like, I cannot tell you that. I said, it had to be bad. He's like, it's real bad.
Oh, so it's real bad.
So his basic thing, he said, look, you could probably visit the bases, but understand that when they run your ID, you're going to run into this. But he goes, but what I would tell you is, whatever you do, don't ever go to Ramstein Air Force Base. He said, that's the one. He said, and I was like, geez, I've never done anything, but here I am. I can't go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where would you like to go just one more time? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Kate. Welcome to the men's room.
Hello.
Hola.
So you guys talked about Disneyland, and I went to Disneyland 3 days after 9/11.
Well, that had to be uplifting.
No. Well, so I was 9 years old, so I wasn't quite exactly sure what was going on. I knew what was happening, but, you know, when you're nine, you don't fully grasp it.
Sure.
And we went to Hollywood Studios, Legoland, Knott's Berry Farm, SeaWorld, California Adventures, the whole shebang for 2 weeks. And nobody was in any of the lines. We didn't even have to get off rides. And I loved it.
So what you're telling me...
at a national emergency.
Now that you're an adult, have you thought to yourself, all right, if there's a national emergency, this is the time to book a trip to Disney. Because, I mean, it's like having the zip pass, right?
Right, basically. It's terrible that you would capitalize on that kind of a terrible situation.
No, just say you're the Franklin Mint.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So you're nine.
You're nine. Sure. It's not on you. The Franklin Mint does it for any tragedy. I'm waiting for their virus coins.
I think, you know, you take the good anytime you can. You know what I mean? Whatever that's
Yeah, that's very true.
I mean, right now, people can make it to Portland in 2:15. Good for them. Mm-hmm.
I get to work quicker. Yeah. Do you want to go back to Disneyland?
I'd like to see what it's like. Unfortunately, I'm a little jaded because if there were no lines, spending 45 minutes in a line seems wasteful to me now.
So. I would say don't go.
I know, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, the lines are going to be massive. The longest I've ever waited in line for anything is Disney.
And you also have to remember that if you were to go to Orlando, Orlando does have more room space-wise as far as going into Disney World compared to Disneyland.
Sure.
Disneyland's a little bit more tight. Disney World's a little bit more open as far as the size of the walkways and everything else. And it has more displays, more rides. So, you know, it's a little bit more spread out. But you have to remember, all this stuff that's going on right now as far as MLS or Major League Baseball or the NBA playing, they're all going down to Orlando. And right now, Orlando is one of the biggest epicenters of all that's going crazy with the coronavirus. Right. So even though they'll be quarantined down there, it's almost like saying, like, all right, for our Cocaine Anonymous meeting, we're going to go for the weekend in Vegas and we're going to hang out. You know what I mean? Like, this is not the best place to go.
But here is the problem, right? Because my sister-in-law works with the MLS, and she's not keen on the idea of going to Florida because it's the epicenter of stupid, right? But she said, look, the reason this happened is because it was months ago.
And they opened up.
Right. And these places were available.
And
right.
They have the facilities. They have the training facilities. They have all that stuff. So they really do have the complexes as far as being able to pull this off. They have the hotel rooms based on the tourist industry.
They have the fields. I mean, the Wide World of Sports is a massive sports complex.
That's why it's called Wide World of Sports. By the way, we were talking about Captain Morgan. I said, who's the first pirate you think of when you say, hey, think of a pirate? Okay. So some people, they chimed in, and then I'll get to Captain Morgan. But someone says, thrill, Johnny Depp, first pirate I think of. Right, Captain Jack Sparrow. Someone else says, I always think, but we continue. All right. Captain Morgan apparently was a rum runner after going rogue. It does not exclusively call Captain Morgan a pirate, but it says he got wealthy by raiding ships and settlements in the Spanish mainland. So a pirate. Then they say he's a privateer, basically a pirate. But the difference is he has a mark from the English crown to take Spanish ships.
Okay.
So you're like a legal pirate.
I came back from that trip at Disneyland with my kids, and we did Pirates of the Caribbean, which is a fun ride. You're just kind of in a boat. You're on a track. You know, you go around, and everything's on fire, and the pirates are doing their thing down there. And Captain Jack Sparrow is part of the whole deal. So it's like there's this, he's animated, and he comes out. It's like I don't know what you call those kind of figurines that look human, but they're not. But
Animatronics.
I don't know what the hell it is. But he's got a sword on
like Chuck Cheese.
And he says something, he opens his mouth, and he kind of jumps out at you. Well, 2 weeks after that, Johnny Depp showed up and did it. So, like, he was there. He took the guy's place. He was live. So, like, you know, for like 9 or 10 rides in a row, it was him coming out going, wah!
But Johnny Depp, he might not even known he was there.
Probably not. Where would you like to go just one more time? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Josh. Welcome to the men's room.
Half a day.
Hola.
How you guys doing?
Doing great, man. How are you?
All right. So basically, like the caller that called in earlier about Guam, that's my place to want to go back home right now.
Is that your home?
Yes, sir, it is.
Okay, you tell us, what is there to do in Guam? Like, if I were going to visit Guam, what would you tell me I absolutely must do other than leave?
The weather is awesome. So basically, we're in the equator. You get tropical weather year-round. Our winter is rain. Like the gentleman mentioned earlier, you can go free dive, night dive. The food is awesome.
I was going to say, what is typical food?
So in our culture, so the whole history of Guam, Magellan, the Spaniards. So in the Philippines, Spaniards were basically, I would say, we're all the same. You know, we cook similar foods. Barbecue life is like the number one for me. They have also other ethnicity type of foods. Like a lot of the foods out here, Asian foods.
Okay. What's the most popular beer in Guam?
Oh, man. So Guam, like you mentioned earlier, we're U.S. territory, so we're pretty much Americanized, you know?
Okay.
The number one beer back home is Budweiser.
Oh, good. All right. And are you Guamanian?
Guamanian, correct.
Guamanian.
My Guamanian brother.
It's Chamorro.
And how long is that flight?
Right now, if I leave from Seattle, it's about a 16-hour flight.
Where do you have to fly into? Hawaii?
You have options Hawaii or Japan.
So you got to fly all the way across the Pacific Ocean to back up and come back and go
to Guam. What is the closest body to Guam? If I'm in Guam, like how many miles away am I from another island or continent?
So we're basically southeast of the Philippines.
Okay, all right.
Are you in a way, does it feel like to you that you're just not included in the world and you're kind of on an island, you know what I mean, so to speak, where things that go don't really affect you so much?
So, you know. The crazy thing is, like the caller that called in earlier, we have the naval base in the north and the, Air Force in the north and Navy in the south. Basically, Guam, making it sound like we're all effed up, but basically, Guam is just a bomb, you know, where Guam has all the ammunition for the military if someone wants to do something kind of crazy, you know, or like hands-on, we're ready for them.
Yeah.
It's crazy,
too. And you're also a potential target.
Also, per capita, I want to say Guamanians, there's more of them in our military than like any state.
Yes. For reserve, Guam, I believe, is the number one for reserve because we got a big reserve in the island.
Interesting.
I'm learning a lot about Guam today.
I know. More than I knew, for sure.
Where would you like to go just one more time? 206-421-ROCK. You are listening to The Men's Room.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
The Men's Room is in progress. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
You're not alone. The average person says they've already had to cancel four things they were planning to do over the summer.
I've canceled one. I'm singing real quick. Two that I know of.
I've got about three or four. 10 most common summer events that we've canceled. Number 10, some people were going to move. They decided not to move. Others have found that this is a wonderful time to move as far as the availability of trucks, the housing market, the fact that the job situation has changed. A lot more people are working from home. Therefore, companies are giving the green light to say, hey, look, if you'd like to continue doing that, you may. Pick your destination. Pick where you want to work from, and we'll make it work out for you.
I'm not saying who this person is, but someone I know, their big plan, they have already quit their job. All right. And it was a very amicable thing. They gave all the notice because they were moving with their husband to Germany for this brand new adventure. Now they're just out of work and still here.
Right. We know a guy.
I told you, I have a buddy that he moved to England. He moved to London.
Right.
But then everything hit, so he hasn't. His wife and kids haven't been able to go over.
Yeah.
Lucky son of a bitch.
We know a guy who happened to be a weatherman here in Seattle. And for 23 years, he had to be the bearer of bad news every single night. And finally, a guy who does nothing but worry and study about the weather had enough of the weather and decided to move to sunny Scottsdale, Arizona. And at this point in time, I am this close to blocking Walter Kelly on Twitter if he posts one more picture of himself laying by a pool. Other things that people canceled over the summer, going to a concert. Obviously, there's no way Painting the Grass is happening at this point. We can all pretty well just, you know, say...
I'm going to go ahead and make that call.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't made an official announcement or anything like that, but there's no tours going on right now. There's nothing out there. Red Festival. Look, man, this is going to be our 10-year anniversary. Of Men's Room Original Red.
Three big plans canceled.
We had all kinds of things that we were going to do, you know, based on 10 years, a big deal. It's a decade with the beer, the Fisher House, everything else. That is a complete wash. We told you we had Zeppelin lined up for Red Festival this
year. Huge.
Wow.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen. Work trips come in at 8. Cookouts just in general. Some people still are not willing to do that. Something for your own birthday. Maybe you had a birthday weekend planned. Something, get out of town. Go to dinner at a nice restaurant.
Right.
It's crazy. Family reunions. This is probably the only bright spot in this entire list of things that people had to cancel.
That'd be really bad right now.
What, a family reunion?
Yeah.
Bring the young with the old. That'll work out.
Nothing could go wrong.
And hug each other.
Mm-hmm. Parties, vacations, and the number one thing that people have had to cancel over the summer because of all that's going down with the pandemic, trips to the beach. Our question, where would you like to go? Just one more time, 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Christian. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola.
Hola.
So the place I wish I could go back to is the Sonic Drive-In by my house. But I am banned from going back there.
How did you get banned from the Sonic Drive-In?
Well, long story short, I cut someone in line, but I think she deserved it.
Okay, and did this lead to a confrontation with management?
Yeah, actually it did. So if you let me explain, it was a big deal when Sonic came to the Lacey Olympia area.
Okay.
There's one that's very close by there, so everyone was really excited. And as you can imagine, the first couple days they were opened up, there was a huge line. And their parking lot was still partially under construction. They were painting lines and paving still. So they had a parking lot attendant out there. And that person asked me, do you want to go to the drive-thru or are you looking to get into one of the stalls where they drive or they walk the food out to you? And if you go to the drive-thru, they direct you to go around the back of the parking lot and follow the cones and all that. Well, this lady, and I watched her, she rolled past the guy, picked a stall, backed out of it, and then tried getting in line in front of me, and I wouldn't let her. And so I kind of cut her off, and she nosed forward and tried to get closer, so I ended up just driving up on the curb and going around her and getting in front of her. And she got out and started yelling at me. And then when I finally got up to the speaker box, instead of, welcome to Sonic or anything, I heard, hey, sir, you can't be cutting in people in line. You're not allowed back here.
Do you think they'll really remember you?
I don't know.
How long ago was it?
It could probably, this was a while ago.
I think you can go back. I do, man. I mean, look, the situation was a situation. But first of all, there's a lot of turnover in any place.
So whoever made that call might not be there anymore. If they are there, will they really remember you? Do you have a car you can borrow? There's all kinds of ways to get around this.
Okay, you're probably right. If I wanted Sonic bad enough, I probably could.
And what did you really want to get? I mean, I know that there was a bus for Sonic, and I do remember that when they opened up. What is their signature thing?
Well, I was excited for the milkshakes, and I still got my food. They didn't refuse to serve me or anything, but you know, every time I pass by a Sonic now, I can't forget that. It's stuck in my memory.
Okay, that is weird. No, wait, you got barred.
You have the same car.
Yeah, I do. I don't think they've got like a wanted poster of me up.
No, there's one way to find out. Like, oh no.
If you have a scooter, a motorcycle, anything with a helmet, I'd recommend that. You could even wear your helmet when you're driving in your car.
That's how they know
the band. Now that you have a face mask on, look, man, I'm telling you right now,
this is the time.
There's a lot of things that are going your way.
Sir, I recognize your eyes.
Where would you like to go? Just one more time, 206-421-ROCK.
By the way, how many people have waved to you or said hello and you had no idea who it was because of the mask?
Well, it takes a little while for people to identify you, yeah, even if you're the initiator of the wave.
I think
it's the opposite. I'm with Miles. It takes a while to recognize people in the mask.
I just don't, man. Everyone knows me because I got my glasses and my beard. And they're like, you look exactly the same. There's just a mask. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay. But I'm talking to a woman today when I was getting lunch. And she was saying, she's like, oh, I recognize you. I'm like, and again, she goes, your glasses and your beard. I'm like, right. But she was saying some woman, all these different people were approaching her at the grocery store. But this one woman in particular, she's like, she's one of my best friends. She waves to me. She's like, I had no idea she is because all I could see is her eyes. I'm like, yeah, it's a weird time, man. Hello, Don. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, hola.
Hola.
Boy, speaking of Germany earlier, guys, if there's one place I could go back to again that I really love, it was a place called La Folly Club in Berlin, Germany.
What's that all about?
It's a gentleman's club, and, you know, I was in the military station not too far from there. A friend of mine was leaving country, and we had a four-day pass, and he says, let's go check out this place, and he took me there. It was, you go in and you disrobe, and you put a towel around you, and they check you over and wash you, and it's kind of reminded me of, like, what a togo party would be like. And they have a variety of lovely ladies all over the place, and some sports TVs and snacks, and about a $50 euro fee to get in. But the particular most interesting thing about it, on the wall was an advertisement that said, special Hamburglar and Big Mac. And the Hamburglar is you and your buddy both pick a girl, and halfway through your event, you switch.
That's the Hamburglar.
What's the Big Mac?
Or do we even want to know?
The Big Mac is it's you with two girls. Yeah, for the price of one. But see, the caveat to these is you have to do it in front of everyone. There's probably about a dozen customers and 20 girls in the main lobby area.
So you are with these, so you're doing it in front of everybody who's also there?
If you opt up to do the Hamburglar or the Big Mac, it's, you know, public voyeurism at its finest.
Huh. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, talk about the pressure being on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I might skip that part. Like, well, let me go ahead and do some private.
I've watched enough Third Strikes go by in my life to know that would be a bad idea. Where would you like to go just one more time? 206-421-ROCK.
That was very odd. Hello, Ken. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
Let me start off by saying Westwood One can suck it, but that's beside the point. But to get back to Savannah, Georgia, and the place you're talking about was called the Pirate's House. It's where Robert Louis Stevenson wrote Treasure Island. And it's also the home of one of the greatest drinks of all time, Chatham Artillery Punch. So I'd like to go back to Savannah. There's this great hotel that has a balcony, covered balcony, sit out there with a rocking chair, no open container law, with a big old punch bowl full of Chatham Artillery Punch, watching people. St. Patrick's Day, it's the third largest St. Patty's Day in the country.
Yeah, it's because you can walk around and drink in Savannah. It's one of the towns like New Orleans.
Brother.
Yeah, people don't realize that. I mean, because New Orleans is known for that.
Sure, sure.
But Savannah, Georgia is one of those places where you're like, you can walk because you just don't expect it.
People love Savannah.
I was a kid when I went, but you can walk around and drink here.
It doesn't smell like ass.
No, it doesn't. It's a beautiful town. It's got a lot of pretty cool architecture. It's a beautiful town downtown. Where would you like to go just one more time? 206-421-ROCK.
I will say this, Ted. I do like going to New Orleans, but I typically avoid Bourbon Street now. I'm at where I'm like, you know what? And it's odd. You know, Bourbon Street is just this one street in a fairly large area when you get to the French Quarter, but it's just different there. Mm-hmm. Just it
you
is.
Just go one side street over, you're fine.
And you're fine. Absolutely fine. Yeah.
You are
fine.
I've only been there, again, I've only been there once, so I'd like to go back. Like,
I thought you'd been there more than that.
No. I've only been there once, and it was like during the day. So just the worst time to experience Bourbon
Street. Do not go to Bourbon Street during the day.
I will say, what's it, Pat O'Brien's, the original Hurricane? Mm-hmm. Like, I'd go back specifically just go to that bar and get that real Hurricane.
We went to a place just for beignets because we were just so hungover, we couldn't even see straight. But I don't think we went into any place specifically. The one place I do remember was a floor that it was a carousel floor. So it's a hardwood floor and it's a big circle. You don't realize this when you walk in, but the entire middle of this bar is constantly spinning. Kind of like if you were to go to the top of the Space Needle and have dinner, you know, you're looking in one place, Queen Anne, that thing, you know, you're looking in Soto. Same idea. Steve and I don't realize this because the bar is rotating so slowly. We are not in tune with the idea that this is going on.
Yeah, we had no idea.
And after 2.5 hours of drinking tequila during the day and drinking beer, when we walk out, where we walked out was not the same street where we walked in.
And we could not figure out exactly what
it
happened.
Did you know at any point when you were in there that it was spinning?
No.
We didn't even know it was a gay bar until we left. So, no, we had no idea about anything what was going on.
But we were like, man, there's no way we came in at this street. So even though we're really just around the corner from where we came in, we are now completely lost.
Right.
Because our world has changed. Like, wait a minute, that's the front door, right?
And we walked out that front door because we walked in that front door. Now we walk out that front door. We're on a different street.
It was amazing.
What the hell's going on? Where would you like to go just one more time? 206-421-ROCK.
Dude, I told you, the one time I went down there, it's during the day, and we're walking down, like, the end of Bourbon Street, right? Because there's this famous, like, diner, right? That has, like, chili dogs.
You know what? I've been there.
Right, so if you're hungover, whatever, super hungry, this is the place to go. But as we're walking by, like, we look in a bar, and it's just a dude in, like, black booty shorts and, combat boots dancing on the bar. So we look in, we go, all right, not our bar. So we notice a couple more things, and then we're in that restaurant eating, and finally we leave and realize we are there of Decadence Weekend.
Oh, that would explain it, yes. Yeah. You cool. had no idea.
Mm-hmm. We had no idea. And then my buddy Will signed us all up for the newsletter to Decadence without us knowing.
Oh, really?
Are you still getting it?
No, but it was just funny when I got home from the trip. It was like, did you enjoy your time at Decadence? Like, what other gay vacations can we get you involved in?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I stumbled into one accidentally last year. Went down to Palm Springs for a weekend to play golf, and it was Gay Pride Week, and this was the culmination of the weekend.
And Palm Springs, kind of a famous.
Oh my God, man! I mean, it was off. It was crazy. I mean, like I was downtown. I'm like, this is nuts. It was bands playing everywhere. Right. People losing their damn mind, man.
What's like when you talk about Cape Cod? I remember as a kid going to Provincetown to go whale watching, and just was impressed. I was like, man, these dudes love rainbows.
Right. You had no idea why.
No.
Where would you like to go? Just one more time. 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Nick. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. So I went to Hawaii last year with my girlfriend, and we're both in our mid-20s. You know, we had all this hiking and, you know, inner tubing through all these cool tunnels and all this cool stuff we were going to do. And so we woke up the second day, the first morning there, and my girlfriend, you know, okay, let's do this, let's do that. All right, I'm going to go hop in the shower. I hear, swoop. Bam! Ah! She slipped in the shower within 12 hours of being in Hawaii, broke a rib, and we didn't get to do anything.
Jesus. I mean, man. Nothing. You can't do anything. Like, nothing.
Nothing.
She
cracked a rib, so it wasn't a full break, but we had to cancel everything. And then to make things worse, I took her on a cruise that was a little bumpy and choppy, and then in a helicopter ride that wasn't.
The only other thing that would have made it worse if you took her to a comedy club.
Yeah.
You know, made her laugh all night.
Right. Or made her listen to your guys' show, you know?
Sure.
But, yeah.
Put pepper under her nose.
But, yeah, it was a great time, though, but, man, it's just so bad. I want to go back there so bad just to be able to experience all the stuff we missed.
Bring a lot of money.
What island did you go to?
Yeah. We went to Kauai, actually, the little island up there. It was pretty sweet.
Yeah, there's a lot to do up there.
Were you? Let me ask you this: were you as surprised as I was at how bumpy the helicopter ride is when one is doing that in Hawaii?
Yeah, a little bit actually. You know, it's like that sudden drop. You know, you're like, whoa. You know, how far did we just drop? It kind of was surprising to me.
That was the one thing I'm like, all right, we're gonna go to Hawaii. I'm like, the only thing I really want to do. I want to do this Magnum PIS. I want to get in a helicopter and fly, you know, by the volcanoes and all that. within about 2 minutes of getting on that helicopter. I'm like, I cannot wait to get the F off of this thing.
Yeah, I don't mind doing adventures, but not the. I took like a kayak.
I did not think it would be that
up
bad.
The Waimea River to a waterfall that was up there. Nobody was there. I was just like, this is awesome. And I'm pretty sure I got bit by a bug that about killed me. It was fun, though.
Right. And helicopters look so smooth and cool and TV and everything.
They're not.
No.
And they're
loud.
And I said, I'm never doing this again. You fast forward, I have kids, take them to Niagara Falls. We're on this big tour thing, and they offer the helicopter trip. Now, granted, the helicopter I got on in Hawaii, I'm pretty sure the guy that flew it also made it in his spare time while drinking Bud Light in his garage. The helicopters that they had in Niagara Falls, these things look like Airwolf. I mean, and even the pilots, man, they literally stand there with their hands on their hips, the mirrored shades. The whole thing's nice. Get on this thing. It's no different. I cannot wait to get the hell off of this helicopter. Kids thought it was great. Mm-hmm. We fly over Niagara Falls, and I remember my son says to me, he says, Dad, if the helicopter crashes, and first I'm thinking, thank you for bringing that up right now, but he says, if it does, he points at Niagara Falls and says, I hope we hit that and not the highway below us. And I said, brother, I know you have not been to Niagara Falls. You want to hit the highway.
Mm-hmm.
That is the last place you would want this thing to crash. Niagara Falls is no joke. And actually, I would like to go. I'd been there a bunch of times as a kid. So I took my kids about the same age. It's kind of mind-blowing. I mean, they got a real sense of nature there. Having just gone there, I would love to go back there. If you haven't gone, it's worth it, man.
To me, it's like, I don't know, like going to a doctor or a chiropractor or I'm trying to think of the right analogy here, like an actor compared to the stunt double. You know, you get a pilot, you get on a plane, this guy's got his captain outfit on, he's a respected man, you know what I mean? All things need to be checked, all those things.
Sure.
He's very, you know, like, it's the pilot, this is the guy you trust. And it's almost like the helicopter pilot. They are just not, it's a different world.
You know what I mean? Do things like pluck a gauge to see if it's working.
You're nuts, you fly a helicopter.
Right.
You're responsible, you're going to fly this airplane. It's almost just like, oh, you're a whack job, crazy loon, helicopter. Like, helicopter pilots don't seem like the guys that are like, we're going to go for a helicopter. Like, buckle in, let's go.
Yeah. They don't mind if you see duct tape, on the back of it. Like, why you got duct tape on that thing that looks important? She should be all right.
Both of these people fly, but it just seems like there's a different mindset between the two pilots.
Generally, when you see a pilot, airline pilot, just an airplane pilot. He is a professional,
mm-hmm.
right? Whereas most helicopters you get in, it's like he's just doing a tour or whatever. So I think if you got in a smaller plane, you'd meet a lot more wahoos.
Yeah, but when you say when he does a tour, okay, you'll find out very quickly. You know, when he starts flying that plane, like...
Commercial.
Used to fly Blackhawks.
You know what I mean?
One thing I do appreciate...
Helicopter pilots are crazy. Those military dudes do an awesome job. They get into spots that are wild.
But I appreciate... The one thing about the helicopter, though, because look, you've gotten on a plane and you go, oh, would anyone be willing to get a voucher to catch the next flight because we're overweight? Because it's too much blah, blah, blah. Helicopter, they weigh your ass before you get on there. And it is public knowledge, right? So my thought is... People roll in, you have to hand over your license and all this stuff. They need your info for obvious reasons, but they make you step on a scale because one thing they know to be true is nobody weighs what is on their driver's license because everyone lies. And it turns out when people step on that scale, it's like, huh, you might want to update your license because you're 25 pounds heavier than it says here.
What are those big ass helicopters they fly to JB11? Those Harriers? The kinds of the
no,
two
Harriers
blades?
Are planes.
What are the ones with the two blades?
Chinook?
Big Chinook. They have the two blades on them?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that pilot is a pilot. Like, right. He's not crazy. You know what I mean? He's flying that thing. To me, that guy is...
So the bigger the vehicle, the more convinced you are.
See that thing right up there? That guy's nuts. That guy flying right up there, he is nuts over Capitol Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's an idiot.
I'll tell you what, man. Have you seen some of the videos what they do with the Chinooks, too?
No.
Oh, my Lord. You can't believe where they land those things. Sometimes they got to go out and get people off mountains and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And just the way they back in. Helicopter pilots, you're right. They're a little crazy, but they are unreal.
Right. Because I read stories like, well, we were going to go up to Rainier and look for these guys, but the weather conditions were too bad. I'm like, they don't got the right helicopter pilot.
Right.
Where would you like to go just one more time? You are listening to The Men's Room.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.